You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. It is nice to have your company once again, Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall in situ. And ready and raring to go ahead of two golf events this week. We're going to cover on the podcast the Portugal Masters and the Worldwide Technology Championship as well. First of all, a good morning to Dave Tindall, who joins me on the line. Dave, good morning to you, sir.
Hello, Dave. Yes, on the successfully working line, normally we faff around for 20 minutes saying, I can't hear you, where, turn the mic on, but we were straight in this time, weren't we?
We finally cracked it, I think, after 10 or 12 years of attempts to get you on the line correctly. We've finally managed to do it. So touch wood, things will continue in this vein over the course of the next few weeks. You went close to back-to-back winners last week, Dave, with Patrick Reed. You were confident on Reed, and we thought that he was the one last week that was overpriced in the betting at the top end of the market. And it didn't look likely going into the final round, but he was sneaking up the leaderboard on in an event that was testing from a weather perspective, and he just failed, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm not so sure I was confident about him. I was just sort of confident that the price was wrong for what he's achieved in the game. For him to be, what was he, 22-1 in a terrible field, it just seemed a bit odd. Obviously, you were taking a chance that he'd recovered from his illness and everything was going to be all right. But there were signs of that in the CJ Cup when he'd shot a second round 66. So it was, yeah, it was kind of, the price is wrong. Keep your fingers crossed that he is on the upward trajectory he said he is. And he was, actually. And yeah, I must admit, I kind of had got him down for something around 10th, you know, coming into that final day. But then he shot 65 in windy conditions and just needed a mistake from Lucas Herbert somewhere along the line and we would have been in the playoff.
It didn't come, did it? For Lucas Herbert, that was actually, in terms of the events that he's won recently, you wouldn't think so, would you, with it being a bona fide PGA Tour event, but it was the weakest field he'd gone up against and won, having taken the Irish Open, then finished tied fourth at the Scottish Open subsequently, and he held his nerve.
Yeah, and he'd won in Dubai as well. Yeah. So once you put the pieces together, it seems like maybe he was one that got away. Because, what was he? About 60, 70 to 1 or something? It was quite a big price, wasn't he? Was he that big?
Yeah, I think he was 66 to 1.
Yeah, ugh. That's terrible news. It's just, yeah. I mean, the fact that that Irish Open win had come, you know, relatively recently. What was it, about five start? No, maybe a bit more. One, two, three, four, five, six. Nine starts earlier. He'd won the Irish Open, finished fourth in Scotland, fourth in the Boise Open on the Corn Ferry as well. I suppose he'd had a couple of miscuts just before Bermuda. Excuse me, at the Sanderson and the Fortinet. But when you were looking at that field, I mean, the few had the profile he did. So one that got away, I think.
Yeah, I know that Niall Lyons, didn't he, tipped him up on the on the odds checker, which was a cracking selection. So I'm sure a few of the golf betting fraternity were on last week. Should we talk about this week then, Mr. Tindall?
Yes, let's do that.
We'll start with the Portugal Masters. I'll spin you through the betting here with William Hill. Matt Wallace tops the market at 14-1. Laurie Cantor is 18-1. Thomas Peters is 20s. Andrew Johnston is 22s. Richard Bland is 22s. Minwoo Lee, 25-1 shot. Robert McIntyre is 28. Sam Horsfield, 28-1. John Catlin, 30s. Fabrizio Zanotti and George Kutsaya and Adrian Auss, all 33-1, 35-1 and bigger. The remainder for the event on the European Tour, and we're moving towards the climax of the race to Dubai with just three events left on the schedule. And birdies, the order of the day is the Portugal Masters takes place this week. Dom Pedro Victoria Golf Course has hosted this event since it started back in 2007, so there's plenty of course form for punters to take a look at. Whether or not that course form matters, Dave, is open to debate. George Kotsay is the defending champion. He won by two, beating Laurie Cantor last year. It is a resort course. It's quite easy. The fairways are wide, which encourages aggressive play from the tee. And the weather looks decent for the week as well. Warm and benign conditions. And it's just about finding a player that can handle pretty quick greens. And it's all about price for me, Dave. And there's some at the top of the betting that I thought looked quite skinny in the market this week. I don't know how you viewed this, but Strutt's Gain Putting is going to be a key start this week.
Yeah, the it was an event where you needed sort of minus 23 and minus 22 won, and it was a very, very low scoring tournament. The last two, though, haven't been that bad, have they? 16 under for George Kotsay when he won, and 17 under for Stephen Brown. I mean, you can get majors won with those scores, to be fair. So I don't recall. Was it tougher because of the wind those years?
I think generally it is, isn't it? I think that's the only real protection this course has.
Yeah, so yeah, I would agree with you. Putting, obviously, Kotsay would have fitted that bill as well. Yeah, I know what you mean about them being a bit short at the front of the market in what could become a putting contest. I'm not sure you want to take prices that are too short. Matt Wallace is obviously the favourite, and he's coming into some form, but 14-1 looks short.
Yeah, I think
As does Laurie Cantor, 18, that looks short. Thomas Peters always sort of flatters to deceive more often than not, that looks short. So yeah, I did pass over most of those at the front of the market. But you I think you've got more of a handle on this event than me. You've got two picks, I've just managed one.
Yeah, two selections for me. I'm going to kick things off with Adrian Aus as my number one selection at 33-1. I always think that Aus is at his best when the scoring is low, and this event offers him the perfect opportunity in my mind for him to break his duck on the European Tour as well. I don't think it's necessarily the sort of event in which you need an abundance of course form. It's just right there in front of you, isn't it, as far as a golf course is concerned. And Arnaus has only had one crack at it, finished 40th on his debut at this track a couple of years ago. And I think it's reasonable to have seen that slight lull in his play following the near miss at his National Open. He didn't do too much wrong, did he, finishing behind Rafa Cabrera-Bello. And this is the part of the world in which he's thrived this season. All his best performances have come when scoring is low. And away from that performance a couple of weeks ago, he finished tied 8th at the Tenerife Open, posted 16 under par there, and tied 4th at the Canary Islands Championship with a 19 under par total. He should thrive on a layout like this. And Arnaus ranks 7th in strokes gained putting on tour this year, which I think is absolutely crucial this week. And I'll be surprised if he doesn't put in a bold show, Adrian Aus, on this golf course. So 33-1, he's my number one selection this week.
Yeah, good. I've got a list of about 15 maybes, and he was one of them, but I couldn't quite get too excited enough. So yeah, I'm glad you've picked one off that list. I suppose my pick is a sort of slightly better than maybe.
Yeah.
Because I'm not overly thrilled by the price, but I think there's enough there. One of the factors this week is keeping your card, isn't it? And also trying to make the top 50 who advance to the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. So one of those from the latter category who's, I think, 54th on the race to Dubai, so needs a good week to get in. Mikko Korhonen.
Nice, 40-1.
Yeah, 40-1. So he just seems to have all the things you want, really. So he's got the course form. He's played here 5 times, made the cut 5 times, got a 3rd, a 9th, and a 12th. You look at his scores, he's got, you know, he's got 364s, some 65. So he's regularly shot low rounds at this course at Don Pedro Victoria, which is good. And then his current form, he's not a player who comes 15th every week. He seems to throw in lots of good finishes and missed cuts. So in his last 12 events, he's got 2/3, a 7th and an 8th, but also 5 missed cuts. So he's either on or off, basically. The one kind of middling one in there was a 20th at the Open de España a few weeks ago, which is a decent sort of recent form check. And as for putting, you said putting, the look at some of his figures. They're excellent when he has those good weeks. So he was six in strokes gained putting at the European Open, gained over six strokes. In the Italian Open in September, gained over seven strokes with the putter, where he was eighth there. 11, gained another five strokes with the putter in Spain a few weeks ago. So his game is set up to do well. He's not the sort of big hitter that people might think you need to be here, but he's just someone who will set up a lot of chances and take a lot of chances. So I thought 40-1 was a decent each-way price when you throw in all the little factors: his putting, his current form, his course form. And I'm sure there's one other in that category. Oh, yeah, his incentive to get into that top 50.
Mikko Korhonen at 40-1 is the selection for Dave, then, his sole pick in the Portugal Masters. And my second pick, I'm going each way on Renato Paratore at 66-1. The quick proviso first is that I never, ever get Paratore right. So yeah, that's worth bearing in mind. But I think he's worth having a bash with this week. I think it's a decent each-way price on Paratore. He ticks a few of the boxes that I'm looking for. He ranks third in strokes gained putting on tour this season. We've seen his strong putting in his last few events, in fact. It's brought him onto the radar for me, and he's in really strong form as well. He was tied 9th in the Open d'Espagne, tied 25th at Valderrama, which is, of course, I wouldn't expect him to be suited by necessarily, and then tied 11th in Mallorca on his last three starts. And he's made all four cuts on his appearances at this course, in this tournament as well. So he's the second bet for me at 66-1, Renato Paratore, but I do never, ever get him right.
Yeah, just looking at his strokes gained putting numbers are amazing, aren't they? Oh. Last three tournaments, he's gained a combined over 25 strokes on the greens.
He's unbelievable on the greens. Yeah. It might be that regresses slightly. His ball striking will obviously have to improve a little bit this week if he's going to contend, but it's not they're not anomalous results in terms of his putting. That's just who he is, really.
Yeah, I mean, you go a bit further, but he had a run of missed cuts, didn't he? But before that, again, he was gaining fours and fives on the greens, strokes going putting. So, yeah, if it stays hot, he'll have a chance, won't he, I think.
Any others you want to mention? I thought you might have been tempted, but it's not a massive price, but Minwoo Lee is a player that you like. Yeah. He's actually the highest rated player in the field, isn't he? Ranked player in the field.
Yeah, when I sort of stopped dismissing the leading contenders, I had to stop that sentence in case I got to Minwoo Lee because I do like him.
Did you? By the way, did you see the tweet from Ben Coley about the week's Lucas Herbert's one and Minwoo Lee's?
Oh, yeah, Minwoo Lee sort of follows him in.
It's bizarre, isn't it? Yeah. I'm sure it's just coincidental, but it's fascinating.
It's a good spot, yeah. Minwoo Lee then at 25s. I'd probably give McIntyre and Horsfield as good a chance as those who were right at the front of the market as well. They're both 28s.
Yeah.
I think Kurtzier at 33s. Again, he's been cut, hasn't he? But he could go well. Who else did I look at? Looked at Eddie Pepperell briefly.
What about Jack Senior?
Jack Senior, literally about to say Jack Senior.
Yeah, 60s.
Yeah,
because he went close for you, didn't he, recently? And
yeah, he's got the sort of pedigree, hasn't he? Won the Lytham Trophy by the sort of coast and everything.
Yeah,
brought up in Morecambe. So yeah, then there's a few others. Like I remember one of my, you remember your best ones. I did back Kyrgios here when he won at about 100s. So he's 66s. So I always think of him in this event. And kind of on it goes. I mean, I was even looking at Victor Dubuisson, so I'm looking at everybody, really.
Yeah, we'll see how that event pans out. Three selections for us.
Yeah, I think that's it. That's plenty.
And I like them as well. Mikko Korhonen at 40-1, and I've gone with Renato Paratore at 66 and Adrian Els at 33s in that event. Let's talk about the Worldwide Technology Championship, known as formerly known as the Mayakoba. Justin Thomas tops the betting at 14-1. Abraham Ancer is 18-1. Victor Hovland 80-1. Tony Finau 28s. Billy Horschel is 30-1 alongside Scotty Scheffler. Matthew Fitzpatrick and Brooks Koepka and Tyrrell Hatton all 33s. It's 35-1 for Will Zalatoris, Shane Lowry, Aaron Wise, Cameron Tringali, Patrick Reed and Russell Henley. And it's 40-1 and bigger the remainder. And It heads to the tour heads to El Camaleon Golf Course in Mexico, and it's a short course designed by Greg Norman, who's Dave, he's in the news at the moment, isn't he?
He is, not for the greatest reasons. But
the face of the Saudi Golf League, Greg Norman. What do you mean? Is that going to get off the? It looks like it's going to get off the ground, the Saudi Golf League, Dave.
Well, I guess so. Most things when there's a lot of money thrown at it do get off the ground, don't they? So we'll see.
I was listening to the Shotgun Start podcast with Andy Johnson and Brendan Porath. I don't know if you listen to that podcast, Dave, but it's always entertaining. And they were talking about does Greg Norman have the pull he had like 20 years ago? Basically, it seems a strange one, doesn't it? Not with the younger players, anyway.
Yeah, it's a bit odd, isn't it, mate? I guess in Australia he'd be sort of revered still, but I don't know. Seems an odd front man. Not surprising that he himself would get involved because he's very sort of businessy, isn't he? And everything.
Yeah, I think he was the player in the early noughties that kind of he monetized the game of golf. He was the one that found a way to make money off the golf course. One of the first, wasn't he, in terms of that?
Yeah. He's a bit of a Marmite character, isn't he? Some people sort of think he's fantastic. Others, he's just a bit too much, Greg.
Yeah, I think so.
I remember that period when he went out with Chris Evert Lloyd or Chris Evert. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that vaguely.
And it was at an Open. I think it was at Turnberry, and they were sort of walking around together, and they were kind of early in their relationship. I just had this image of them both sort of running on the treadmill, trying to pretend they were enjoying it and just trying to beat the hell out of each other.
Yeah.
It would just be the most competitive relationship you've ever seen.
Yeah. I obviously hope the Saudi Golf League doesn't get off the ground. They're going to need to attract some big names. I think Dustin Johnson's likely to be involved in some capacity, isn't he? But they need to attract a lot of top names, I suppose, to really get it going.
Probably a critical mass need, isn't there, to sort of make it something?
Yeah, I can see it. Like, I can see maybe them not having a massive pull the first year, and then trying to attract players when others realise, they think, wow, we could be playing for $100 million here every week instead of $6 million on the PGA Tour.
Well, you can be assured DJ's given it a lot of thought.
As far as this event is concerned, it's maybe not as easy a test as you would expect for a golf course measuring around about 7,000 yards, but scoring is vastly improved, or has vastly improved, over the last 4 or 5 years. It must be a nightmare for recreational players, Dave, because there's so much danger off you if you stray off the beaten path. But it's a positional golf course for players at this level, and you'll see them clubbing down and leaving themselves longer second shots just to avoid that trouble off the tee. And I'm incredibly surprised by the quality of the field this week, Dave.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? I know Thomas and Koepka did play it last year, and obviously Hovland did, and he won. So, but is it 11 Ryder Cup players taking part, I think?
Yeah.
I read.
It's a lot deeper than it usually is, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And then even below that, you keep going and you've got quality players down at 50s and stuff like that. So, yeah, it is a good feel, though. It's nice to see.
What do you see as key stats here, or are you looking at course correlations? How did you view this event?
Yeah, a lot of the anecdotes seem to be saying you've got to find the fairways, and more so than other courses, which is fine. I'll buy into that. A lot of the statistical evidence says greens in regulation is very important to do well. I think Hovland was first, wasn't he, in that category last year. And on it goes, if you look at other greens in regulation figures of the winners, they're all in the top maybe dozen like that. But, yeah, correlating courses as well. Makes sense. So, and last week, obviously. One thing with last week, do you ever get put off by players who played in heavy winds and then play the next week and their swings have been wrecked?
Yeah, maybe. It's not something that I've given too much thought to, in all honesty. Is that something that plays on your mind then?
I don't know. Just you wonder sometimes that you've been sort of buffeted around so much, but you could argue as well you've sort of honed your game, haven't you, in those conditions, playing knockdown shots and stuff. So I mean, I've I don't quite know why, but I seem to be a lot more confident in this tournament than I am in Portugal. So I've got three picks.
I've just got the one, so I'll let you go first, Dave.
I will, because I put up Patrick Reed last week, I will sort of leave some chips on the table and back him again, because I don't think he should be the same price as some of those around him. He's 35-1, as are Cameron Tringali, Russell Henley, Aaron Wise, Will Zalatoris. I mean, Reed's, you know, what's he done in the game to deserve to be in the same price as that? I mean, he's got an incredible record, hasn't he, Reed? Mm. So, I don't think he used up an awful lot of energy last week compared to some. He just sort of appeared in second place, didn't he? He wasn't under the gun all week. And he sounded pretty bullish afterwards. He kept using the word offense. He said he needed a lot more offense. He obviously likes his American sports terminology. You know, I think what he was basically saying was he's been making pars, but he needs a lot of birdies and the odd eagle to get that score going. And he did in the final round, didn't he, with that 65. And he must have said offense about 15 times in that interview afterwards. So his game's going in the right direction. So, you know, if you just said at a normal time of the year, Patrick Reed is just coming off a second place and he's 35-1 compared to someone like Tringali, I don't get it. I mean, he's won in Hawaii. All the arguments I said last week, he's won by the coast plenty of times. Won at Torrey Pines. The only thing he hasn't got is course form here, but he's only played it once, 2017. Shot 72-70, but, you know, hey-ho. But he is, another of his wins is in Mexico. He won the Mexico Championship. That was on his last start in Mexico. So for me, Patrick Reed, he's someone who always seems to sort of land at 35-1.
It's a very big price, I think, in this field.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we are top price on him, which is good. And I can't let that one go. Same as last week, really.
Yeah, just a reminder as well, we are top price guaranteed on the top 10 in the market this week. And we're paying 8 places as well. So some good each-way terms and that top price guarantee on the top 10. Well worth having a look at the betting for the Worldwide Technology Championship here with William Hill at williamhill.com and on the app this week. So Patrick Reed for you, first selection. I'm going to go with Russell Knox as my number one pick at 80-1. My sole pick at 80-1, in fact.
Good, because he was my third pick, so well done.
Oh, good. I just think the price is too big. I mean, he was popular in a weak field last week.
Yeah, just very sorry to jump in. I was doing a preview for someone else about Abraham Anser last night, and I got it 99% written, and he was 25-1, Abraham Anser last night.
Yeah.
And then I just check before I sort of send the preview in, and he'd gone to 16s. And I had to rewrite about the first 10 paragraphs.
My whole
argument was that it was a great price. But what do you do in situations like
that? It's tough, isn't it?
But I also feared that 80-1 on Russell Knox would crash. I thought everyone seemed to be all over him last week. He plays well, so why is he 80s?
I don't know.
Anyway, take up the argument, Dave.
Yeah, it is a stronger field. I suppose that's why he's 80-1. But given he was so popular last week, I expected people to come aboard again this week.
Yeah.
He came from the wrong side of the draw to finish tied for 12th, which was a superb effort. And now he gets to a venue on which he's had some success, a lot of success, in fact. We know this is the type of course in which he excels, and he's shown that with the results at this venue. He was second in 2015, third in 2016, logged a top 10 in the event in 2017 as well, and his game is built around finding fairways and greens, and on a course where everyone has to lay back at some point, he's not disadvantaged, and 8 places on offer, 80-1. I think it's a cracking price.
Yeah, I dug out some quotes from Knox. He says, obviously, I love the course. It sets up well for me. I mean, historically, my driving accuracy and iron play has been my strength, so that's kind of the key things that this course brings out in you. This course is all about just drive it in play and then attack. So, yeah, if he thinks those are the key things that you need to do, well, last week he was first for greens and regulation.
Yeah.
And six in driving accuracy. So the things he thinks he needs to do well, which are the things you need to do well, he's bang on with them at the minute. So, yeah, it was weird. This morning I thought, the Knox price will have gone. and the answer one will be okay. It was the other way around.
Yeah, answer's been incredibly well backed, hasn't he? At the top, he was one that he just looks. He looks like you said, the 25s was big, and he looks about the right price now at 18-1.
Yeah, I presumed that Ben Curley had got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and written his preview, but he hadn't actually when it had crashed. So I presume just everyone's had a look and thought it's a great price. I mean, I could mention him and I could just back him at say that. I mean, I think he's obviously think he's got a massive chance. But I did just think with William Hill that the Reed price was the one to go for at the top end.
What's your other selection then?
Yes, a little bit further down, Ricky Fowler.
Are you Ricky Fowler?
The forgotten man of golf almost. Although, is he the forgotten man of golf? Because only two starts ago, Ricky Fowler was third, wasn't he? Third at the CJ Cup.
Yeah.
And if we're putting this emphasis on driving and iron play, well, at the CJ Cup, he was first for strokes gained off the tee and first for strokes gained tee to green. And in old money, he was first for greens in regulation, second for driving accuracy. So that sort of shows something's going wrong. I dug out some quotes. I think he'd spoken to the Golf Channel that although John Tillery's still his coach, Butch Harmon had a few reassuring words to say, you're on the right lines, Ricky, which had gone down well. So I just think at some point, if he keeps playing well, he'll jump back to, I don't know, what would he be in this event down the years, 20s, like that. So I think while he's being dangled at these sort of prices, I think he might go in. So some of that is based on course form as well. He was runner-up on his debut here in 2017, shot four rounds in the 60s again when he played it the following year to finish tied 16th. Missed the cut last year, but that was when he was having a bit of a shocker. So I just think there are underlying numbers that he's coming back, Ricky Fowler. It's not meant to be the windiest of weeks this week, but there'll be some wind, so that he's always good in that. Yeah, it's just sort of 45-1. I think if he does come back, that price is going to half in events like this. So I just thought, for now, I'll try and grab him while those odds are there.
Okay, 45-1, Ricky Fowler, Dave's third selection. We've got a combined one there with Russell Knox at 80-1. Let's just talk about a few of the other leading contenders. I was a bit disgruntled to see that Ben Curley tipped, he's got three mentions on this podcast now, Camilo Villegas. Who I put up last week, and he opened up on the wrong side of the draw with I think it was a 77, but eventually finished like tied 34th in that event. And it goes back to what we were saying last week, and you mentioned this last week. It's with Patrick Reed in terms of the same argument, really. He's got really good form by the coast, and I think he'll go well this week, Camilo Villegas, and he's 150-1. And the other one that I like was Maverick McNealy, who's going to break his maiden soon, I'm sure. 45-1, Maverick McNealy, and he has excelled on short golf courses in his burgeoning PGA Tour career. And I thought those were two that interest me, just away from my sole selection.
Yeah. What did you think of Brooks Koepka's price?
Yeah, I like it. I think he's close, Koepka, because I had a nibble on him in the CJ Cup at Summit Golf Club, and his stats didn't represent how well he kind of passed the eye test, Dave. I was watching him in the featured groups, and it looked like he was close. And then you check the stats, and they didn't bear that out really. But I think he's close.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't long ago where you'd have Justin Thomas and Koepka at the same price, and Thomas is 14, Koepka's 33. I guess Koepka's missed two cuts here, but one of those was when he was a child, basically in 2013. That was a long time ago. You know, one last year when, I mean, last year's one, it was more kind of after the majors, wasn't it? But the majors are a long time ago now. So I think he's not in that mode where he's putting everything into majors and then everything else takes a bit of a back seat. So you can excuse what he's done before. He's got plenty of good course form, form by the coast. So it's an odd price, isn't it? Koepka 33s historically. It's another one of those where you could just back him on price.
Yeah, I think we've highlighted the two at the top of the betting that are too big in the market in Reed and Koepka.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, you've got players like, you've got Billy Horschel shorter than Koepka. I mean, when does that ever happen?
Yeah.
That's a bit odd.
Yeah.
Who else did I look
Wacky
at?
Neiman's been very popular, hasn't he, on a shotmaker's golf course like this?
Yeah, 45-1. Obviously, when Herbert won in Ireland, he then finished fourth the following week in Scotland. So he's 66s.
Yeah, quite appealing.
Which could be interesting. Mm. He's kind of hovering outside the world. No, he's inside the world's top 50 now, isn't he? 43rd. But I guess he'll want to just absolutely nail that, and then he'll get his Masters invite, won't he? Of course.
It was a weird event last week, wasn't it? The Butterfield Bermuda Championship, because it didn't feel like a PGA Tour event, but it was full FedEx Cup points. So someone like Patrick Rogers, who finished fourth, and Lucas Herbert, they've sealed their, well, Lucas Herbert's got that 2-year exemption now, but Rogers pretty much sealed his spot next year on the basis of a fourth in a dire event from a world rankings perspective last week in Bermuda.
What about Patrick Rogers, 66-1? If two of his last three events, he's got a fourth and a sixth.
Yeah, he'll be on a high as well this week, and he's got good form.
Three top 20s here.
Yeah, he enjoys playing when there's small targets. He kind of excels when the greens are smaller than standard tour average, I guess.
Yeah, he was third for greens in reg last week. The only problem with last week, he only hit 35% of the fairways.
Yeah,
which was a long way down the list, 74th.
Well, funnily enough, that put me off Tyrrell Hatton, who I thought might go quite well this week. Hatton, I just get the feeling he's coming back. He's 33-1, so maybe there's not that much juice in the price, but he's definitely going in the right direction now, isn't he? Following that second at the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship, and then played well subsequently in the CJ Cup, and I could see him. This is the sort of venue where I'd see him playing quite well at 33-1, Tyrrell Hatton.
Yeah, what about Matt Fitzpatrick? He was another one that played in those horrendous morning conditions, didn't he? He said, I've never seen wind like it.
Yeah.
He was going all right. Had he played better in the final round, he could have finished maybe 10th, 12th rather than 30th.
Mm. Yeah, no, I can see that.
33s this week. He was, 14s last week, I think.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot better field. Yeah, I mean, there's lots you can give chances to, aren't there, really?
Shall we recap the selections then, Dave, starting off with the Portugal Masters?
Yeah, so I'll have a point each way on Mikko Korhonen.
Yeah, and that's 40-1. I'll have a point each way on both my selections, Adrian Ause at 33s and Renato Paratori at 66-1. And in the Worldwide Technology Championship, Dave?
Yeah, I'll have a point each way on both Patrick Reed at 35-1 and Ricky Fowler at 45-1. And as you've gone for him as well, I'll just go half a point each way on Russell Knox at 80s.
Yeah, just the one selection for me. I'm going a point each way on Russell Knox at 80-1. Dave, thank you for your company.
Cheers, Dave. What have we got next week then? Are we in Dubai for the Dubai Open, I think?
We will be, won't we, I think?
And then in America, I think we've got... There's about three left in America. I think, is it Sea Island next week?
Mm.
We've got, where are we? What are we? November. Oh, we've got the Houston Open next week.
Oh, right, okay.
We've got, so Mayakoba this week, Houston Open next week, then the RSM Classic the week after, and then we're into this kind of silly stuff like the World Challenge and the QBE short shootout.
We might be into our Christmas break by that point, might we, Dave, actually?
Yeah, the QBE shootout special may have to take the back seat.
Don't forget, you can follow us both on Twitter if you wish to do so, at Dave Tindall Golf and at D Kellner. Thank you for tuning into the Golf Podcast. Do check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app. And don't forget, on the Worldwide Technology Championship this week, we are top price guaranteed on the top 10, plus we are paying 8 places each way. Check out all those markets online and on the app. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week. If you're having a bet on the golf this week, the very best of luck, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.